Before I let you go, I'm going to go through one way that we wanted to share with you about how you could get deeper into the Word if you don't already have a way that you do that already. I know we all come here today having had different experiences with the Bible. Some of us may have had some Bible stories read to us when we were younger, maybe out of a children's book. Some of us come to church and we've heard the Bible read, but we haven't really had an opportunity to read the Bible for ourselves. Maybe you've read a chunk of scripture in a devotional study you've done. Maybe you're in your Bible frequently, or maybe you're not in there so frequently at all. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we even have some people here today who haven't picked up a Bible. So any of those places where you're starting is totally okay. As you've already heard today, one of our main hopes is that when you leave, you're going to be hungrier for God's word. And 1 Peter 2:2-3 does tell us that our Bible is our spiritual food. And we should really be craving God's word and feeding ourselves with it every day. Because only by being in his word are we really going to be able to have God transform the way we think and to apply the truths we've already heard today, like being in unity with each other, so that when people look at our relationships, they want that too, and they want Jesus's love. So, I think Judy's going to talk a little bit about this afternoon, but you don't have to use a devotional study to be in the Bible. And so that's why we wanted to give you a tool so that when you're questioning something, or if you've come to a weekend service and you're like, I didn't really get that, or I need to figure that out, you'll have something to go to just to be able to open up your Bible and ask yourself a few things to get a little bit deeper into that passage. I did want to let you know that the version or the translation of the Bible you choose to use in your reading and in your study isn't the most important thing. There's several good translations out there. Riverview Church has chosen to use the ESV, or the English Standard Version, and they do that for a couple reasons here. The first reason is that it's a word-for-word translation, and it's the newest word-for-word translation that we've had in the English language since, I had it written down here somewhere, several years, like 30 years or something. Also, the people who wrote the ESV have allowed Riverview Church to use that translation in our text project. If you're not familiar with that, it's a way to read through the Bible, the whole New Testament in a year, or the Old and New Testaments in 3 years, but it gives you a chapter to read a day. So they let us use that, and if they hadn't given us their permission, we would have been infringing on all kinds of copyright laws. So for those two reasons, and just to keep consistency, the pastors also chose to use the ESV for their teaching, and that's why we're using it today. But to be honest, personally, I choose to do the majority of my reading out of the New Living. It's a phrase-by-phrase translation, so it's not as specific or as technical, but just when I sit down to read it, I like to get what I'm reading and enjoy it. So that's the version that makes a little more sense to me. So whichever you choose, first and foremost, when you're reading your Bible, as you've heard Noel say over and over, and as Melissa said today, read it normally. And what I mean by that is don't try to just read it and say, oh, what is God saying? I don't know. What you're reading is not based on your feelings or a commentary you've heard. God's saying what he wants to say. So first of all, read it normally. You can find several resources out there about how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible. Riverview Church has a really good paper out on how to do an inductive Bible study. That was written by Chuck Wynn. And on weekend services, it's out at the Riv Warehouse. It's also linked to the Text Project resource page. So if you wanted to read that to get some ideas, I'd encourage you to do that. But the study method we're going to share with you today is written by and taught about by Mark Driscoll, and he's a pastor out in Seattle at Mars Hill Church. And the teaching team really wanted to share this one with you for a few reasons. First of all, it's 5 simple questions that you ask yourself as you read your Bible. And it's, I don't know, I guess I was thinking as women, we kind of like structure. So for us just to have those 5 simple questions organized, 5 clear steps, it's like, okay, we can do this. We've got the steps. The other reason we liked it is that you can really just quickly learn what they are. I'm gonna go through all five of those with you in the next few minutes. And it's not complicated. The questions that you ask yourself are pretty straightforward. And so that was a reason we liked it. And then lastly, it's really a flexible guideline. So you can decide when you're studying through a passage, do you want to ask yourself all five questions? Do you want to focus on a couple? Maybe one question is really striking for you and you spend several days on it, or maybe that's one you want to talk with your friends about. It's not like, oh, I have to do this, this, and this, and this, or I'm not doing it right. No, it's really, you use it how it works for you. It's just some questions, some guidelines to get you going in the Word if you need a starting point. So here it is. You have a handout somewhere in your folder. It's called Five Things to Ask Yourself as You Read Your Bible. And the first question is simply, what does the Bible say? And this one is the five W's, who, what, when, where, and why, about this passage. And Melissa started our day out modeling that for you today. It's a really critical first step because this is gonna set the stage for the rest of your study. It's gonna put you in the right direction. And determining who wrote the passage and when and where and why they wrote it, that's gonna help you interpret what you're reading normally, and it gives you a context to put it in. And many of Paul's letters, as we saw today when we started Philippians, gives us some of that information. Several other books in the Bible do that too. But I've found that it's really helpful to find the five W's in the beginning of the book in my study Bible, or maybe to consult a commentary or some other kind of resource online that kind of gives me that information. It's not always something you can just get right from the passage you're reading. So now I wanted to draw your attention to another handout you have, and this is the last one we haven't talked about yet. What's it called? It's called Resources, I think. But this is a list of resources you can use or go to if you want to dig deeper into your study. Yeah, it says feedback at the top and then resources. If you want this electronically, it's on the Text Project website, and then you can actually click the links and you can go right there. And I wanted you to add one if you have your pen handy. One that I know a lot of people like to use is biblos.com. So it's B-I-B-L-O-S, B-I-B-L-O-S. And that's got maps and cross, like gives you a passage in many different translations and helps you know what the words mean. So that might be a good one for you too. Okay. The second question of this study guide is, what does the Bible mean? And this is the point we observed Christine modeling for us today, where you really observe the text. Whatever it is that you want to dig deeper in, maybe it's a whole chapter, maybe it's a chunk, you read it again, you soak it up, you dwell on it, you live with it, and then you dig a little deeper. So again, I want to emphasize the meaning of the text is really in the words themselves. You're not basing the meaning of the passage on your opinion or your imagination or what you're feeling today. God is saying what he wants to say in that passage, period. So keep that in mind. As you're becoming familiar with the passage, this is the point in your study where you probably will want to consult some other resources, commentaries, your study Bible. You'll probably want to talk with your friends, ask questions, get other perspectives on it, and that's where you're really going to dig into what the meaning of that text is. Okay, question three. Why do we resist what the Bible tells us? The first two questions really have you taking a lot of time to gain knowledge. And the third and fourth questions are where your study becomes more personal, where you look a little bit more inward. For me, as I'm kind of more the studier type. So for me, the first two questions are, I get to sit back, read, learn, write some stuff down. It's a challenge for me to answer questions three and four. But I have friends who it's the opposite. It's a struggle. They don't want to study to get that knowledge, but they enjoy spending time in conversation and thinking about how to apply it to their lives. And both parts are really important, which is another reason why being in a Bible study or a life group and going through this with other people is so essential. So now that you've got that knowledge, it's time to ask yourself if it's easy for you to accept that truth that you've been reading about. Do you embrace it? Do you live by it? Or are you resisting some part of that truth? And if you find that you are kind of resistant to it, you'll want to ask yourself why. Do you still have some questions about that? Or are there specific beliefs that you're not really willing to give up? Or maybe you feel like it's just not possible for you to obey what's said there. So examine that question for yourself. If you find you are resistant to it, you'd want to pray about it. Seek a mature believer who you could talk about it with. Obviously, become a part of a Jesus-loving, Bible-believing church to get some of those maybe misconceptions or things that you are having trouble letting go cleared up for you. Question 4 asks, why does this passage even matter? And you're at the point in your study where you really have a good understanding of what the Bible means and how you feel about that passage. And this is where it's time to figure out how what you've read is going to apply to your life. Studying God's word, like I said, is going to give you some knowledge, but that's not where it stops. It does us no good to have this sea of knowledge living in us if it doesn't come out in some way. So it's time to figure out how you can use the truth that you've read to be on mission. So how is what you've learned going to impact the closest people around you? How are you going to use it to help somebody who you work with or a neighbor? So this is where you figure out, I need to say something to that person, or I need to do this service, or I really need to be praying about this. This is where you take action. Why does it matter? And the last question to guide you is, how is Jesus the hero, and how does this passage point to salvation? It's really cool that the entire Bible, all the way from the first book in Genesis, all the way through Revelation, is God's love letter to us. It's our instruction book. It's our encouragement. But it's the whole story about how God loved us so much that he sent this guy, his son, to sacrifice himself for us. And when you take the time to really consider the passage of what you're reading, you're going to find a cool thing. You're going to find that it's going to point to Christ. The more you're in the Word, the more you're reading it, the more you're going to be able to answer this question 5. But it all is pointing to Jesus, and that God loved us so much that he was willing to give that to us. So you have an overview of the 5 questions, and we're going to give you some time to practice answering those with a small group today. The logistics might be a little bit tricky because we have a lot of people and we're going to be a little bit spread out. But what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to find some women, maybe sitting around you. We want groups of about 8 to 10. We're going to ask you just to, when I say go, to find your people. And then you're going to head to a spot. So you could pick some of the lunch tables, maybe the 200 rooms. I know those tables are still set up. We might need to use the chapel, but we're only going to have a half hour to practice and get back. So I just want to ask you to be mindful of the time. We have some lovely ladies who have agreed to be facilitators. So we're envisioning about 40 groups probably. We have about 40 facilitators. If you have your group of 8 to 10, go ahead and sit down and a facilitator will come join you. If you kind of have a couple people, facilitators will be on the lookout for you and will grab you and join you together to be a larger group. If you have a question about who those people are, they have bright pink sheets, so they're going to be holding those out for you. If you look lost, find one of them. And then what you're going to do is when you get to your group, you're going to read Philippians 3, 1 through 16. And that's just to give you some context for your discussion, because we're going to ask you to narrow your focus when you answer the 5 questions to really focus on verses 12 through 16. A couple of reasons. There's a lot to consider, obviously. A lot of people that would like a chance to probably share. So if we narrow the verses down for you, hopefully we can keep that a little more timely and focused. So again, read 3, 1 through 16, and then work through 3, 12 through 16. Just keep in mind the facilitator that's with you doesn't claim to be an expert. She's there as a guide. She's going to help keep track of the time, keep you moving through all the questions, so that we can get back here for our last teaching at 2 o'clock.